This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're parachuting, gliding, and rocketeering our way through the 16-bit skies. From 1991, we're playing Pilot Wings for the Super Nintendo by Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host that soars through the air like Ali Raisman. It's Todd Brisket.
He looks tough, but some have seen his tears.
What the hell? And our other regular co-host, he likes to shoot down some missiles when he's not skydiving. It's Huel Hauser.
Although somewhat of a flirt with his male students, Huel is strictly professional when it comes to grading.
Today you were joined by a special guest. He's a guy who really knows how to handle harsh wind gusts. It's friend of the show, Dale.
People probably told you that Jesse Craftsman was the only person skilled enough to jump from a 747. Well, the actual phrase used was dick brain.
So, you can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We need that cash to purge the memory of Izzy's quest from our brains and our loins. Today's game is Pilot Wings. When the old SNES came out in 1991 in North America, Nintendo's Entertainment Analysis and Development Division came out with three killer games within 15 months of its debut, according to Wikipedia. Super Mario World, F-Zero, and our subject today, Pilot Wings. Pilot Wings is essentially a collection of flight simulator minigames. The game starts out with basic flying in the light plane and skydiving, and builds on those with rocket jetpacks and hang gliding, before culminating in a helicopter missions where you have to shoot down and dodge missiles and save your flight instructors. They kind of serve as the plot for this game. The framing device is that you are trying to earn various piloting licenses. So
it's very deep.
Yes, very story driven. Sweet Baby Boys. This was one of the better games that I played as a kid. And it's also one of the few that both myself and my sister liked. So, Dale, since you're our guest today, why don't you get the discussion started off for us?
Yeah, I never played the original Pilot Wings before. I have very little experience with the franchise other than playing the 3DS one a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I've always known about it and I've always respected it just because I remember at the time. The graphics being a big like Mode 7 showcase for the Super Nintendo, seeing how the camera would rotate around like all crazy, and probably was more terrified of it as a little kid when it came out, thinking, like, I have no idea what's going on. But that's kind of like how I felt when I played this for like the first hour or so. I couldn't land that damn airplane for the life of me. I had flashbacks to NES Top Gun, but
Top Gun.
I kind of get the comparison there. Like that's another game that just kind of has you landing a plane and not really giving you good instructions to do it.
Yeah, and like the physics for, you know, that first mission where you got the plane coming down on the runway ever so slowly teasing you, here it comes, and it seemed like for like the first several tries I had no idea what I was doing. Like the slightest jolt on the D-pad to alter the physics of the plane would throw it way off, and mm-hmm. I'd crash it many, many times. But you know, eventually, once I landed it the first time, even though it was like out of bounds and bad points, I'd be like, all right, now I'm starting to get it. And I just kept getting more and more gratifying as I scored better and better. And I was really digging it there after about an hour or so there. But, you know, the same with the other crafts you get to pilot there. Really dug the jetpack and skydiving. Hang glider, though, I did not like the hang glider.
I was not a fan.
No. Does that go for everyone? Is hang glider definitely most favorite status?
Least most. Yeah, that's as far as I got, was the third stage, I guess. or area.
Yeah, it's but, same here.
Yeah, I'd have to say
beat the third, that was it for me.
Yeah. I mean, I finished each of them at some point, each of the three vehicles, but never all at the same time. Because I kept retrying and trying them in different orders. But I think the trick, or not the trick, but the limitation of this one is you're trying to fly these things with the D-pad. And I think we're all used to kind of flying planes in, let's say, Grand Theft Auto or something, where you have the stick, it's a little more accurate. And you need that feather touch with the D-pad to to really get accurate turning and landing and that kind of thing. It's a very specific skill.
Oh, definitely. This is a game with a, as Dale alluded to, with a pretty steep learning curve. But when you do manage to figure it out, it feels so satisfying. I managed to eventually get the hang of this as a kid, although I was always way better at the stuff where you didn't need as much finesse, like the parachuting.
I love that one.
Yeah. Oh, and the it's weird that they don't give you the rocket pack until the second stage, because that I think is the easiest of all of them to use.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I was able to pick up and get the hang of that really quick.
Mm-hmm. Although the second part with the rocket pack, when you had to hit the top of those beams, that was a little bit annoying. I found it hard to kind of hit that right spot at the top of those bar things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little more trial here.
Yeah, a little bit. Like I was spinning most of the time, just wasn't working.
The thing that I love about the rocket pack is you can see the dude's legs wiggling around when you move.
That is pretty good.
I mean the hang gliding is definitely the worst because, like it there's far less margin for error than the other things you get.
Yeah, the ground comes up real fast, and it's hard to pull back up. Because you're just gliding, you don't have full control over where you're going.
Yeah, and if you need to speed back up, it's hard to get back up in the air to correct.
You got
to
hit those thermal currents to shoot back up.
Exactly.
I guess I saw the little alert your instructor gave you in between missions later, or in between attempts, but. When I finally landed, I guess I missed the whole point at first that you were supposed to have a 500-meter altitude before you landed. And when I was able to get a pretty decent landing the first time, I was pretty happy, only to get the message, you didn't go 500 feet in the air. I was like, oh, crap.
Got to read them instructions.
Yeah, this is a game where you actually do have to follow the instructions. Like,
they will fail your ass.
Yeah, you have to land in certain areas to get big points, and I think you generally have to average around above a 65, I think, to pass stages. Like you can,
yeah, so it's something like that. It's like 70-ish, whatever the total is.
Yeah, I think for the first two stages you have to get like 140 or something like that out of 200. So, you can't just get 20 points on a stage. Like, if you get 20, you might as well just replay it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we should sort of talk about the structure.
Yeah.
For those that haven't played it.
Mm-hmm.
You are, as Greenwell said, you're trying to get your pilot's license for various classes, I guess you could call them. So then each stage has three different vehicles that you're trying to pass different missions on, whether it's like you're flying through rings or trying to land in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
So you start out with a normal plane. I don't even know if the first mission has rings or not. I think you're just landing it, right?
No, it has rings.
There's three rings.
Yeah, there are rings, but you barely have to move the plane, and you don't have to speed up or slow down, really.
No, not really. And then there's a parachuting mission where you have to land in a certain area with the parachute. And then the third and the first one is... What's the third one?
Oh, actually, the first stage, I think there's only two.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I guess so.
all the other ones.
So you have that, cause you have that little dweeb instructor. They each have different instructors too.
Yep.
He's just like, oh, I hope you do good. And then in the second one, they add in the rocket pack. And instead of the parachute, you get the... Or is it just the parachute? I probably should have wrote this down.
in the second stage?
You get the plane on every stage. In the second stage, you get the plane. They put in the rocket pack.
Light plane, skydiving, and rocket belt.
Okay, so skydiving is in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, rocket belt. Sorry, it's not a pack. Yeah, so then each one has like a little more advanced stuff you have to do. Mm-hmm. And you keep earning your license up and up with different instructors. Did you find the third instructor a bit dickish?
Lance?
Is that just me? Yeah. Lance.
Yeah, he's a little, you know, he's not as bad as later on you get a fat guy, Big Al.
Big Al.
Yeah, he's...
That was who Teeb was quoting.
Yeah, he's
kind of... Or talking about, anyway.
He's kind of a hard ass.
Yeah, well, there's little room for error the higher up you go. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna sit around waiting for you.
Yeah. People die.
I died many times. I was a charred corpse at one point when I crashed my rocket belt.
Mm-hmm. Now, and also, once you beat the first four stages, you have to go on a secret mission for some reason.
Of course.
And you
have to, most pilots do.
You have to use a helicopter to save your instructors and to shoot down some missiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to fly the old chopper.
I have in the past, but mostly because I would use the password.
Oh.
I know, sorry. Well, actually, the first stage I could get to on my own, but there's... All right, so you have four stages, then the helicopter stage, then another four stages, and a second helicopter stage. I think I topped out at around level 6 or 7.
Hmm.
Back in the day.
So there's technically 10?
Yeah, there's technically 10 stages, but the helicopter stages are not... Like, they're kind of short. And you just fly the helicopter.
Right.
So...
No dicking around.
Was it pretty fun, like, taking that chopper around and shooting the crap out of all the missiles there?
I mean, it's definitely the most action gamey aspect of this game.
Oh?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's fun, but it's also, like, it's kind of hard. Like, because the rest of this game is, like, you're not really in the mindset of, oh my god, I have to dodge these missiles and do that kind of stuff. Whereas this one shot, like, knocks you down in the helicopter.
I can see that kind of them springing that on you. Seems weird.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden you're in a Rambo movie.
Yeah, suddenly things take a serious turn and you're fighting the evil organization.
Yeah, I thought this was just a laid-back flight sim.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, you know.
Who captured these people?
You have to defeat the evil corporation. Oh. Alright, it's not the corporation, but their name is, like, evil.
Just straight up evil.
The objective for Secret Command Number 2, which is the last mission in the game. Lately, the evil syndicate has grown. They now have kidnapped a government VIP that opposes them. Our agent has penetrated their hideout, and they await your rescue from the heliport tonight.
So weird.
Yeah.
So I guess, really, the whole time you've been training, it's been like a covert training operation. Like, it's disguised as a flight school, but as people come in, they find the best of the best doing these missions and getting these licenses.
Yeah, this is like the video game version of The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, or like Ender's Game.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you just think you're dicking around. But this is real life, man.
Apparently so. I don't know. Well, Hugh, you always read the manuals. What was the story in the manual?
I don't think I read any kind of story, really. It was mostly like, how do you control these things? The background of each instructor.
Oh.
Oh, Lance's age is unknown. Just letting everyone know that.
Oh, how useful.
He also winked at me a lot. Like, if I actually succeeded, he'd, like, wink at me afterwards.
Ooh.
Can't get a read on that guy.
Want to show you the Mile High Club.
Half the time he's chastising me, the other time he's winking at me. It's just like mixed signals, man.
He's firm but gentle.
Yeah. Who's more of a babe, Lance or Shirley?
Babe?
Yeah, babe.
I guess Shirley. Lance is more of a dreamboat.
Good.
Shirley's the babe.
Yeah. Tony's just a sweet baby boy.
He's 22 years old. So they do list the Flight Club inside story. And this is the Flight Club, of course. There are many unknown facts about the Flight Club, most notably facts about the founder and the head office. It is often called a mystery school, as no one knows for sure what goes on behind the scenes.
Oh, my God.
So I think it's pretty clear we've cracked open their real intentions.
I'm looking at
some. It's some sort of Men in Black, like, front where you take these tests, and if you pass the tests, you're in.
I'm looking at this right now. I did not have this manual as a kid. My goodness, this is some good stuff. Like, I like, opposite that page, there's the Flight Club membership card.
Right.
Where you can put a picture of yourself.
Of course.
You can write down the license class and when you earned it, and also the license number, which is actually kind of clever. The license numbers work
right
as passwords in this game.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's not bad. And also
oh, there, this game.
Go ahead. Sorry, that's what I was going to read too.
For those of you wondering, this game will be much more impressive if you listen to it sounds in stereo.
Yeah.
So, heads up, everyone.
Yeah, don't play this on your mono televisions.
No. Get those AV cables out.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sounds, this game has a rockin' soundtrack.
Oh my God, the rocket pack. The rocket belt music is incredible. Yeah,
that's an amazing track.
Mm-hmm. It's like a... like a Mark Mothersbaugh produced track.
Yeah, I definitely dug all the jingles for each craft there. Pretty relaxing yet upbeat.
Yeah, for as difficult as the hang glider was, it was pretty relaxing music. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. You're just gliding around until you crash to your doom.
What was the helicopter music like there, Steve? Oh. Was it all sudden just like...
Oh, I can't remember.
It had to be intense.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is pretty intense. I'm not going to lie.
The Airwolf theme song?
I don't know. It's been a couple years. That's the issue. Here, let me try to play some.
What? It should go up.
Well, I can hear it.
Everyone at home.
Yeah.
Just look up the YouTube.
No, I think they'll be able to hear it too. You guys. But no, the music for the helicopter stage is definitely serious business.
Yeah, I do like it's kind of a good Nintendo thing that they do where like each vehicle has its own little music.
Yeah.
Break up the monotony.
The helicopter is, as you'd expect, kind of a military march.
Ah.
So, and also, this is a Nintendo game made by Nintendo. So.
Right.
Like, pretty much
that's what I meant. Yeah.
All of
by
their
Nintendo.
Yeah, all of their first-party games are, like, pretty solid. Like, I don't know. Have we ever gotten into that? Is there a bad first-party Nintendo game?
That's a deep ask. Sorry to...
I know. I wish someone had sent it in as an email. Now that I think.
Oh yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah.
I know there's been some that have had pretty definitely mixed receptions over the years. Are you just talking more like old school, like 8/16 bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, there are some, they did some really old games that are kind of iffy, like that game,
Clue Land.
Yeah, and, oh, and Radar Scope, which was so bad that they modified it and turned it into Donkey Kong.
Owen Radar Scope?
Probably.
Is that what you said?
Radar Scope?
Oh, you said oh and Radar Scope.
Oh, yes, yes.
You said it was like a name. Like mm-hmm. Owen Radar Scope.
Owen Radar Scope, a great wrestler.
That's terrible.
As always, in the N16-bit days, I played a few other things at friends here and there, but for the most part, I played mostly sports games in the 8 and 16-bit days. And I remember the stuff put out by Nintendo. Every now and again, Nintendo put out a good sports-published game, like ice hockey. But mm-hmm. Most of the sports games that Nintendo published weren't as good as the third parties, like 10-Yard Fight and Play Action Football. They had their charms. For some reason, I learned to like them, but they're far better football games on Nintendo and Super Nintendo. Like Super Play Action Football is a little better, but the Maddens and Tecmo Bowls were easily
definitely
far better.
Yeah. I don't know. Nintendo did definitely, as I'm looking at the list here, as time went on, they focused on, you know, a couple core series and better games in general. You know, some of the...
Everyone panned that Metroid Other M, right? Or is that not them?
Oh, you know, that's good. That's a good ask.
They published it, but I think it was Team. I want to say it was Team Ninja that developed it. As the other ones.
You are correct, Team Ninja.
Well, never mind.
Well, I also think Other M got panned a little bit because it was like he basically took Samus and turned her into like, you know, this whiny, petty character. Whereas before, she was just kicking ass. Like,
She's a strong woman.
And the new Star Fox got pretty divisive reviews there.
Yeah, that's true. Eh, never mind. Nintendo sucks.
Move on.
Yeah, what are we even doing? I don't know. This game was one I played quite a bit as a kid. I never legitimately beat it. Like, I did use the password once to go to the final stage and then beat that stage. But I don't think I ever beat, like, the 7th and 8th challenges, which, you know, those are ridiculous. Like you have to deal with wind the entire time.
Ugh.
You have to touch beams. You have to go through rings and all that kind of fun stuff. How far... Huel, I think you mentioned you got to the third stage. Brisket, how far did you get in this one?
Yeah, about there. I mean, I didn't play it much this week, but in the past, I've never gotten past the hang glider.
Oh, wow.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Although I will say I never owned this game either, and I never rented it. This was one I purely played at a friend's house, like just 2 days out of my life, and that's it.
So do these excuses.
Instead of getting fresh air and, you know, playing frisbee, you just stayed inside all day, played them pilot wings.
He learned how to fly a plane, man.
this is the foundation for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I remember when you saved a flight over the Hudson with the skills you learned from pilot wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Right on.
I adjusted the pitch and the yaw and the roll.
Yeah,
and set her down gently.
Sparrows.
Yeah, pilot it right down. You just let it kiss on the top of the water for a little bit, and then you brought it to a stop on the water. You gotta have some finesse after all.
I think this is also the game that Todd trained on in August of 2001. But unfortunately, he missed his flight later that month after. So,
oh jeez,
didn't get to live out his glory.
Well, there's always a do-over.
Yep.
So, Dale, how far did you get in this one?
I was the same there. I finished through the third stage. Once I beat that hang glider stage, it just felt like a big gratifying moment where I'm like, all right, I think I hit a good stopping point for this after the hang glider. So, yeah, just through stage three. Mm-hmm. Did any of you guys ever go for the? I know a lot of the stages had like the skydiving had like the bonus moving targets. Those were kind of tempting to go after, but I was too afraid.
Yeah, I think I tried it once or twice. It does feel like the parachute was the most accurate in landing, mm-hmm. but it still was a little too hard to get on the moving targets.
I've done it on the console version, but I didn't do it this time. Because you can retry the missions, and at one point, you know, sometimes, you know, I'd only get like a 50 on the hang glider. So it'd be like, well, I need a 90 or above on the skydiving, so I better go for the moving targets.
True.
So, no, I have hit them in the past, but not this time. Sorry to say.
What does it get you? Bonus points?
Yeah, I think to get the maximum score possible, you have to hit one of the moving targets.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need it for just passing level, but I guess if you've somehow mastered everything else, you want to get like the highest possible score. Mm-hmm. It's just something to try for.
Yeah.
Replayability.
Mm-hmm. I will say that is the one thing this game definitely lacks, is that there is not just a, unless I'm missing it, there's not just a free fly mode.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Like practice.
Yeah, like a practice, or just, you know, oh, let's just take the plane out. Let's go through a nice open world.
Impress the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had to wait for Grand Theft Auto 5 to be able to take our plane out and just fly it around.
Unfortunate.
And that is one thing that hurts this game, is it does feel a little choppy to me in terms of pacing, because you have the stages and they have two or three things in all of them, and eventually they stretch on to four. But it feels like this game just could have been better if, you know, it was just one screen with like all of the stages. And, you know, once you finish stage one, you unlock stage two, you unlock stage three, etc. And then if you could just go back from there, instead of having to do like the chunks of missions, that kind of thing.
I kind of like that they have each stage area has different vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of mixes it up enough, and I think it keeps things more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just having, like, picking, I want to do the plane missions and doing them one after another.
Yeah,
is that what you kind of meant?
Well, I think you could still mix up the missions, like go from hang glider to parachute to, you know, rocket belt, but just have it like proceed linearly instead of having them unlock like three or four missions at a time. I guess is what I'm saying. But
that way you get your license password.
Yeah, that's true. You got to earn that license. So.
Yeah.
There's
something else, and I forget what it was.
Yeah. It'll come to you. Well, speaking a little bit about the history of the series and whatnot, a sequel, Pilotwing 64, came out as a launch title for the Nintendo 64. While it didn't sell more than 2 million copies, like the original did, according to Wikipedia, it was still a success, and it sold more than 1 million copies. However, Nintendo was weird. As a result, another sequel didn't come out for 15 years, with the release of Pilotwings Resort as a launch game for the 3DS. It seems to have sold far less than 1 million copies. I couldn't find a direct number. But its first month in Japan, I think it sold about 50,000 copies, which is quite a bit short of 1 million. There was rumored to be Pilotwings titles in development for the GameCube and the Wii, but there was also speculation that Nintendo quashed them after not being happy with the gameplay. And as far as I could tell, there
couldn't put that seal of approval on there.
Nope, could not put the gold seal that things like Iggy's Quest had earned, Izzy's Quest had earned, and you know, other fine games like Cool Spot.
Yes, did not cut the mustard.
It did not. So,
sorry.
Well, Dale, you mentioned that you had played the 3DS version a little bit. How'd you like that?
It was just very briefly. I think I just only tried out like the first couple of missions there, just for a few minutes there. But I want to say, from what I remember, the controls are a little bit more easier to pick up and play there, and not as touchy, but not in a bad way. Like I said, once I got the hang of the physics for the SNES version, really came around on it, at least, except for the hang gliding. But 3DS one felt a bit more welcoming, and there's another one I've been meaning to go back to, but just haven't. I kind of want to play the N64 version now after talking about the SNES one a lot here, though. Have you guys ever played that one?
Yeah, that was the first one I played of the two, and I remember liking it. Oh. It was kind of just a show off of the 3D graphics, sort of how this is a show off of the mode 7
stuff.
And
it had a gyrocopter, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Ooh. So you're not just for missile dodging, but for actual missions and whatnot.
Yeah, I never played the 64 one, but I do have a lot of memories of I like subscribed to Nintendo Power at the time when the 64 launched. And did you guys ever get that VHS they sent in the mail? Nintendo Power did to promote the N64 launch.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
I got that one.
I wasn't a subscriber, unfortunately.
It was like only like a 15-minute video. You can find it on YouTube now, but it has this super cheesy story of like evil Sega and Sony spokespersons kidnapping a Mario mascot and torturing him, and they kidnap a Nintendo employee and. Oh, wait, no, that's the Star Fox one. Shoot, I'm getting mixed up.
I also have the Star Fox one. Like
the
They did quite a few of these.
Yeah,
that's freaking hilarious.
The Star Fox one is even crazier. Yeah, just like search on YouTube Nintendo Power promotional Star Fox 64 video, and it's only like 10-15 minutes. It's a trip, but the N64 launch, not quite as absurd, but they just take like a few people on a tour showcasing the N64 launch games, and I remember them showing Pilot Wings 64 on that, and I'm like, oh, cool, there's Nestor from the old Nintendo Power comics. He's a selectable character, but they call him Lark, and like, I just remember them really showing off, was it like a human cannonball thinging where you hit Mount Rushmore, and I thought that seemed really cool.
Yeah, I don't remember quite that much about it, but... Well, I remember it was fun.
I remember they really pushed this game because it was like the only game available outside of Mario 64, I think, at launch.
Right, yeah. That was a big part of it.
Yeah, and in Japan they had some like weird chess game available too, but...
I think I remember we looked that up.
Yes, we did. And we were not impressed, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I don't know, for this, like, this game, I think, was meant to be, it almost seems like it was a tech demo turned into a game. Like, you could, you know, envision that maybe as the start of the series, and then they, you know, kind of just made it into a cool flight simulator. Flight simulators were cool back in the day.
Yeah.
Mostly for that PC Master Race that Brisket subscribes to, but... You know,
I've never played any of the Microsoft Flight Simulator games. They just always seem too daunting. I've seen plenty of clips of people doing missions online before, just because I think I get more just watching people do pull off way better landings and stuff in that game than I would ever want to experience trying and probably failing many times.
You know, I've never played one either. But I just remember reading about it constantly in like PC gaming magazines and GamePro about how awesome Microsoft Flight Simulator was, and I never really had a computer power enough to play it back then.
It just feels like one of those homework games where like you have to learn all about like planes and stuff.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound very fun.
Hit all those buttons.
Mm-hmm. Get them buttons. I remember, though, what I was going to say before when we were talking about mission formats and selection. I didn't like that you couldn't replay just one vehicle in a stage. You had to replay the whole stage. So if you got like two good scores and you failed your last one, you couldn't just replay that last one. Mm-hmm. Which I guess is kind of good. Like, it would be maybe a little too easy if you could do that. You know, yeah. Where you have to get like all three, you have to be good at all three of them mm-hmm. at once.
I mean, they're testing you on your consistency as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is for licensing. They're not just going to let you pass.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like they're going to let you mm-hmm. slide on that parallel parking.
No.
These are airplanes. These are aircraft. Mm-hmm. It's where we don't belong. This is not our territory as humans.
I don't know. This is a frequent problem we have where if the game is okay, we don't really have much to say about it. I don't have a ton more to say about Pilot Wings. I liked it.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, it's a good time. It's a good jaunt.
Yeah.
I agree. I will say, though, this game, I don't know if you guys have played this before, I want to give a shout out to since I really dug the skydiving in this game, I want to give a shout out to the monkey target minigame in the Super Monkey Ball games, which plays very similar. I played that in multiplayer before with friends several times over the years, and it's always a hit with buddies and little gaming sessions there. And just, I don't know if you guys are super familiar with the Super Monkey Ball games.
A little bit. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you remember, like, Marble Blast Ultra on 360, it's kind of like that. Roll a big marble around the stage, just get one point to the end, stages get trickier as you go along, but the Super Monkey Ball games always had a bunch of mini-games in it, and one of them was called Monkey Target, where you go off this, instead of getting dropped off from a plane, you go off this big, kind of like a Pinewood Derby course, like the monkey ball rolls down this big hill and then gets launched into the air, and then you use your ball as a parachute to jetpack or skydive down on a bunch of different targets or a bunch of different score multipliers and stuff. And it's a ton of fun. If you've probably got it buried in your backlog, it's definitely worth throwing in just to play the Monkey Target mini game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I remember Monkey Ball, just not really that part.
Yeah, it's not the main game. The main game is like Marble Madness, where you're rolling around on a course. The Monkey Ball is part of the multiplayer mini games they have, so there's other mini games as well.
Oh.
It's a great party game, actually.
Yeah, no, last year, or it was a couple years ago during, I don't know if any of you guys do the Extra Life 24-hour marathons, but we busted that out I think we got really far along. Just, you take turns passing control along, like if you beat a stage, it's players' two turn to take a chance at that stage, and if you fail, you just repeat it again your next go-around, so you may be a few stages behind other people going along, but you could easily get kill a good few hours out of an Extra Life marathon with that game. It's so good.
Oh, nice. Well, on that note, I think we should probably move along here, guys, to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you have any emails this week?
I did. I got an email. And they wrote, "Dear Sweet Boys, I enjoyed skimming your episode about Izzy and the quest for the Olympic rings. That game speaks to my heart. And while I'm on the subject of the Olympics, what is your favorite fake sport? Synchronized swimming or gymnastics floor routines? Friend of the show, Jovial Jackie.
Thought I might know where that was going.
Huh. Well, I don't know. I tend to like synchronized swimming. So I think those floor routines, I mean, it's just putting their hands on the ground and then moving via their hands through the air. Like
hands and legs.
Yeah, it's not that impressive.
My favorite one is the one that's the most subjective of judges. Mm-hmm.
So synchronized swimming?
Yeah.
That's your favorite?
I would say so, yeah.
Mm, okay.
I'll give a vote for the swimming also.
Well, I think that's unanimous then. Synchronized swimming is better than gymnastics.
Oh yeah.
Thanks for writing in, Jackie. The next email, Huel, did you get any emails?
I did, actually. And you might be surprised, but it's from Scooter about 42.
Oh.
Oh, Scooty.
Old Scoots.
So, Scooty writes in, "Dear YPB, I'm so glad Cooter Slut wrote in again. I was afraid she'd forgotten about me. It sounds great that she's getting all gussied up for our meeting. The other guys better stay away. I hope she can stay true while she waits for me. I was a little concerned about that last line in her letter. Which reminds me, what's your favorite cheat in a video game?" And cheat is underlined. Sincerely, Scooterbutt42.
Cheat as in S-H-E-E-T?
No, cheat. C-H-E-A-T. Sorry. He has a weird accent.
What was the ask? What's her favorite cheat?
Your favorite cheat in a video game. Like cheat code, cheat level, I don't know. It's Scooty, man. Who knows what he's saying?
I would like to play honorably, but if I have to cheat, you know, I think the Konami code for Contra.
What is going on?
Sorry, my mind's lost. No, the Konami code for Contra. That's probably my favorite.
Yeah, and it is probably the number one most classic cheat code.
Classic.
Most classic.
It's the Marilyn Monroe of cheat codes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, any thoughts?
Yeah, I would probably in the old NES days, the cheat code I used the most. I don't know if you remember Ikarai Warriors at all.
What?
Old SNK game. Ikarai Warriors, actually the Angry Video Game Nerd did a video about it a couple years ago, and it brought back a lot of memories, but that game was damn near impossible to beat with the three lives they only give you. The game's only four stages long, but each stage takes like what seems like 35 to 45 minutes to beat. And your characters move super slow while you have all these army military guys throwing bullets at you and grenades, and it kind of seems like a very slow-moving shmup, and you look like these two Rambo dudes, and you're just dying nonstop. And I remember
it's like a bad Contra.
Yeah, I remember playing it as a little kid at the time because it was one of the first games we got with the Nintendo. I didn't have anything else to play, and I just remember thinking, like, there's no way you're expected to make any progress in this game when you lose all your lives within like 2 minutes, and like there's this like long little extended maybe 7 to 10 second pause before you get the game over screen after your dude dies. And so eventually I was just like, I'm just going to button mash here, and I got a feeling I'm going to get more lives. And eventually that was what happened. You press A, B, B, A in that little 5 to 10 second window after your guy dies the last time, and then he respawns another set of lives. And I didn't learn to watch an Angry Video Game Nerd video. The developers kind of decided to rub some salt in the wound in the last stage, shortly before you face the last boss, they disabled that cheat code. It's definitely one of my favorite AVGN episodes. So that's another one to check out on the old YouTubes there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my choice is going to be the old classic IDDQD, also known as God mode in Doom.
Hmm. Definite classic. Hmm. Most classic.
Oh, changes your little Doom guy head into glowing, changes it to glowing eyes. And you cannot die.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah, the password automatically jumped to Mike Tyson and Punch Out. That was a good one.
Mm. I think I would go with any game that gets you like infinite money or just like a huge deposit of money. I think we all can agree that the only way to play The Sims is to just get a bunch of money and just build stuff.
Yes. Show me the money on StarCraft.
Yeah. No one wants to play that legitimately. Yeah, or something like StarCraft, where you just want to build a bunch of stuff. Or even Grand Theft Auto. Although, one of the best dick-around games to play is Grand Theft Auto when you spawn all weapons. You just want to blow stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good time.
We've mentioned it twice on the show, and now I'm jonesing to play it.
A lot of GTA talk the past 2 weeks.
Dale, this would have been weird if you had gotten an email, but did you receive an email?
Well, yes, sir, I did.
Oh.
I put out a little alert saying I was going to be on here, and all of a sudden I got an email from my old buddy, Bring Back Slamball, here. So.
Yeah, my Dale Google alert went off when you put that out there, so you must have the same one.
Absolutely, yeah. So here's what Mr. Slamball has to say. Howdy, YPB. I was deeply engaged by your recent Star Trek 25th anniversary episode. Please keep more sci-fi games coverage coming. I heard you guys were all celebrating the launch of the Super Nintendo this week, and that got me wondering, what are some of your favorite sleeper hits on the system that may go unnoticed by most people?
It's a good ask.
Sleeper. Well, I could not answer this since I never played Super Nintendo growing up. I have no idea.
Hmm.
I got a couple for me anyways. I know I was kind of dismissing most Nintendo published sports games, so there were a couple I did like a lot, and especially with Super Nintendo liking to show off the Mode 7 3D camera effects on a lot of their games. I was a pretty big fan of NCAA basketball at the time. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
I liked that one until I figured out like how to beat the computer, like every game, like it basically can't handle full court pressure.
Oh, okay.
Like, well, it's like you won't steal the ball every time, but you can steal it enough that you can build up like a 20-point lead by halftime, like even against the tougher difficulties.
I guess I never really got that advanced to figure out that was kind of master tactics, but I do remember just being really digging the graphics and like the camera for the time, and I remember liking the, I think it was like for the longest time, I think it was the only game where you can actually save your progress in the middle of a basketball game if you didn't have time to finish it, and you can pick up where you left off later, and just doing the actual March Madness tournament was really awesome. And I'll also give a shout out to Super Mario Kart was also really, really good, but if everyone's ever down for a solid poor man's Mario Kart, I'll give a shout out to Street Racer by Ubisoft. That was
Wow, I've never even heard of that game.
Yeah, it was on Super Nintendo, and there's even a PS1 version they put out a couple of years later.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just a clone kart racer because I think almost every other company was putting them out within a couple of years, and just crazy dumb fake roster characters, and but the kart racing was pretty solid, and it had a really good, dumb, fun rumble mode where, unlike the battle modes where you're trying to shoot all the balloons off all the other racers, it's just like a kind of like a battle royal mode where you just keep trying to bump into cars to get them off this platform to last man standing, and that was a lot of good multiplayer fun back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah, it does sound fun. Need to add that to cart.
Heck yeah.
I know one game I always found to be underrated, it's come up a couple times, is Illusion of Gaia. I always liked that one as a kid.
Never heard of it.
That, and you know, there were a couple other Enix games that I found pretty fun. I think we talked about EVO, which we covered it. I think that was published by Enix, but it was developed by Quintet or something like that. And there was a Soul Blazer, which was kind of the predecessor to Illusion of Gaia, but it was also like, as you rescued, it was like an action adventure game that was kind of like Zelda, and as you rescued villagers, like, they repopulated the village, and like, if you rescued,
yeah, they did.
If you rescued one guy, it'd be like, oh, well, now the shop's back open again, and it was just kind of cool. Although invariably, I would always get stuck because I couldn't find, like, there'd be one or two people left, and I just couldn't find them. And, you know, you would need to find them to progress in the game. And
it's so weird how a game that came out 20 years ago kind of predicted the future and how Donald Trump's going to make America great again.
By providing jobs. And
restoring jobs to Main Street.
Yeah, rescuing the middle class.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, clearly. What about you, there, Brisket?
I'll keep it short and sweet and just say Lufia.
Oh, that's a good, deep, story-driven game.
Deep, deep. So deep.
Yeah. So deep. A lot of good twists in that one. Although I have tried to play it recently, and good lord, there's so many random battles in that game. Like, you take like 5 steps on the world map and you get into a fight.
It's a tough world, man.
Just like the streets.
Yeah.
Good point.
Kirby Superstar also. That was another, kind of went a little unnoticed because I think it came out after the 64 was out, but that was a really good Kirby game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I received one email this week. Hey, Huel, has anyone ever told you that you remind them of a young Vic Romano? And Brisket, you're like a regular Guy LaDouche. The other guy, he's totally Captain Tennille. Anyway, guys, if you could be any character from Smash Brothers, who would it be and how? Yours truly, Kenny Blankenship.
Wow. Interesting. Wow, I'm touched, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Almost blown away.
Yeah, your regular Vic Romano from MXC. And I don't know if this is the Kenny Blankenship, but...
It's hard not to be.
Yeah.
Huh, let me mull this over.
Yeah, if you could be any character from Smash Brothers, who would it be and how?
Well, I guess I would...
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I might as well just be Star Fox because I can just go into my closet and get out my fox costume.
Yeah, that's the easy answer.
Yeah, that's the clear winner
have,
right there.
You already have the suit.
It's pretty simple.
Oh,
I'll just need a jacket to go over it. That's all.
You know what? Okay. I'll dress up. I'll unveil my personality and dress up my inner soul and be Princess Peach.
Okay. You just have to go into your closet and find your dress.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have to be the announcer because I just would like to be walking, just talking to everyone in a very just super enthusiastic voice.
Yeah. How's it going? Shouting your names.
Mm-hmm. I would want to be the giant hand.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Get a lot of practice.
Yeah, exactly. Not much of a stretch.
But how is the question.
Oh, don't worry. I got a giant white glove.
Okay.
Just scoot right in there.
Perfect.
Get it. Hugh, I'm going to get all up in the digits. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, dropping digits.
Yeah, all in that digits. All right. Well, I believe we have one more segment left. It's the segment that is really... it's really helping a lot of people.
Yeah,
it's taking off and sweeping
the nation.
Yeah, Brisket, go right ahead.
Yeah, so it's time once again to ask the Sweet Boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write in to us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with subject ask followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. Mm-hmm. All right. And this person writes, help with this dilemma, please.
Who wrote in?
Anonymous.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Help with this dilemma, please. My wife is very lazy and won't do any housework. I work all day, we don't have kids, and we only have one dog, but she won't walk him. I hired a maid, but my wife complained that the maid was too attractive because she was a young Filipina woman. Now my wife wants me to hire a male maid, but I don't want to because she is home all day doing nothing but being lazy, and I don't want a guy in my house when I'm not there. How can I keep my house clean?
Here's the answer. Ooh. You hire a gay male.
Ooh.
That way neither of you are attracted to him, and he is attracted to neither of you.
Huh.
Well, he might be attracted to the guy, but he won't be home, so there's no risk at all. I mean, I'm sure the sexual tension will just be off the charts with any maid. But I feel like this is the lowest risk scenario.
Yeah, and pro tip.
Don't
order the nude maids this time.
Right.
Oh, well, I mean, is that allowed though? Can you just advertise specifically for a gay maid?
A gayed?
Yeah.
You can do anything, man. It's America.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know if the ACLU is going to like that, but
I'm sure if you just explain to them the situation, they'd understand.
Yeah, just
give
the situation. It's like, I wanted to get a young Filipina woman made.
Yeah.
But my wife wouldn't let me. So just to be equal, she cannot have a male maid. So the compromise, hey, what if they get a eunuch? How about
Ooh,
that?
That's not bad.
Well, I don't know if there are many eunuchs around anymore.
Well, it's pretty obvious that the wife is just going to hop on any D that comes through the door.
Well, listen.
And that's the main concern.
Listen,
so if there is nothing to hop on.
I don't know. You heard what kind of prize she was married to.
It's true.
You don't want to put that at risk. So.
It's hard to top that one.
Yeah. Dale, did you have any thoughts about this maid situation? How did you hire your maid?
Yeah.
The way you guys are describing it, I was just giving me flashbacks to the movie Extract, where the guy thinks, Bateman's character thinks his wife's cheating on him, so he hires a pool cleaner, some dude to pretend to be a pool cleaner to spy on the wife, but then, of course, the wife ends up banging the pool cleaner
that he hired as a spy.
Yeah, but of course it plays out way better than the way I just described. But I think it was Sean William Scott was the pool cleaner, and Kristen Ooh. Wiig, before she got famous, there was a not so loyal wife. But
Sean William
don't
Scott.
Trust maids.
Sean yep. William Scott can come clean my. Pool anytime, and I don't even have a pool.
Unfortunately, I think it was just a knockoff Sean William Scott.
Oh, wasn't Sean William Scott? Crap.
Yeah.
Oh, his agent's gonna be on the phone with us. once Sean gets done with his stint doing dinner theater in Idaho, but
yeah, I think his agent will just be happy that his name came up at all.
Yeah. He probably has a red light that flashes in his office.
What? Yeah, once this publishes, it's going to be getting calls.
Yeah, although I was reminded, you know what movie I was watching the other night that he is in is Old School, where where he plays the wrangler for the goat or whatever. He just kicks the cage. He goes, "Yeah, shut up."
That's how he gets the tranquilizer into Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Apparently, the line originally was like they wanted him to say "F you, ass" to the goat. Except they couldn't because they already had too many swears in the movie. So,
gotta keep it PG-13.
I think it might be rated R anyway. But like, even if you're an R-rated movie, you can't if you swear too much and have too much crap going on, they'll bump you to NC-17.
Mm.
Back in those sweet, sweet days. So. Oh, Old School came out in 2003. Oh my god. I'm so old.
That movie's old school.
Yeah. Anyways. Well, I think we really helped that person with their maid problem. Let's wrap up. Huel, did you have anything you wanted to say here?
If you don't try for the target, you won't get the points.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Life lessons.
Life. Yeah. Life
from,
lesson, yeah.
From Pilot Wings.
Yeah. Brisket, how about you?
I enjoyed the experience of mastering the sky, just like a bird.
Dale, thanks so much for guesting on the show. Did you have any projects you wanted to plug?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'll just throw another quick shout out to people doing movie blogs or reviews. I do a little blog on the side that where I try to review a couple movies a month from my old DVD backlog there. Find it at daleisgreat.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So humble.
Did you have any words of wisdom you wanted to leave us off on?
Oh, gosh. No, no words of wisdom for me, except that the movie I quoted from the beginning, from the intro, was from if there was ever going to be a movie adaptation of Pilot Wings, Drop Zone, the old Wesley Snipes classic.
Oh.
Well, listen, Wesley
Snipes. Skydiving joint.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes doesn't sign up for bad movies, so that is one that everyone should check out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on that note, let's play right out with a snifferoo from next week's game.
Now, a motion picture so grand, so magnificent, and so vast, it spans 7,000 years.
No way!
Yes way!
But it starts with Bill.
I'm Bill S. Preston!
Who is Joan of Arc?
And Ted.
Noah's wife?
We're in danger of flunking most heinously tomorrow.
A force from the future.
Can we go anywhere we want at any time?
You can do anything you want.
Is putting history at their fingertips.
Let's reach out and touch someone.
They're traveling through time.
How's it going, royal ugly dudes?
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Excellent!
Execute them.
Bogus. How's it going, dude?
Speckle it. Stay polaire.
And they're making a big impression.
Historical babes.
Now they're home.
Buddy, get together. Remember who your buddy is.
To trash the 20th century.
We got a live one here.
Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, Napoleon.
We're from history.
Billy the Kid.
Oh my God.
Joan of Arc. Sigmund Freud.
Tell me about your mother.
You a musician?
Beethoven.
Genghis Khan!
Abraham Lincoln.
Party on, dudes!
Socrates. George Carlin.
We're history.
If you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of?
69, dudes!
Bill and Ted's...
Excellent! Excellent!
Excellent Adventure.
Are you on, dude?